I am unashamed. What about you?
So I have to say that I can't wait, and I have to wait a week to talk about with Jace without Missy what just happened on the last podcast that we filmed earlier. So I have not been so thoroughly entertained at, because you know Jace, you know, when we're doing the podcast, he never shuts up, right? I mean, it's just story, story, story. The man was speechless. I figured out how to shut Jace up. Missy.
Bring his woman along.
Bring the woman and the man. He was just like in a tomb.
In a fetal position.
He was just like, I saw him just like protecting himself.
And we go from that, if you can survive an interview with your woman seated right next to you, now we're in the mode where we're, how to survive after running with artists. They said, these artists, I mean, they're about halfway weird. And I said, well, I don't know. We got a couple of them today. And I'm like, what am I doing in the middle of a bunch of artists?
We just found the title for this episode, Running with Artists.
There we go.
Running with the Artists, How to Survive It.
So we have some artists in the lair. This is the lair.
Noah. Love it.
This is what we call it.
Yep.
So we have Noah Elias. Mm-hmm. All the way from California,
yep.
Which, I mean, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So we got Tony,
that's
and
right.
We got Phyllis.
Down on the river.
Down on the river. Now you're part of the landscape. We just celebrated a one-year anniversary of when we all first met.
Exactly. February 21st.
So after 1 year, Phyllis, you're my daughter that came out of the woodwork. You just appeared. So what about the last year since we've met?
It's been wonderful. I mean, I hear other stories from folks who haven't had as a good of an experience as what I've had, but getting to know you, getting to know the rest of the family, eating a bunch of good food. He'll randomly stop in. We'll see the truck pull up. Tony say, there's your dad. And he'll come in and say, hey, you want to go look at the ducks? We're seeing where the ducks are flying into this blind. Or he'll say, hey, you want to go look at the backwater, see how much it's coming up on the land? And I'll jump in the truck. We just go and do it. Or we'll go down and we'll cook together. We'll do something fun. There's never a dull moment. There's never a want for something to do. So it's been great.
Welcome aboard.
Well, and you got to, I think, I don't know if we talked about this last time you were on, you've been hunting. You hunted quite a bit. Deer hunted.
Loved it.
Tony killed a deer. Mm-hmm. Which nice. I was impressed because I didn't know artists could hunt.
Oh, come on now.
We were exchanging pictures. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you hunt too?
I do.
Oh, he's got some great kills.
Oh, yeah. That's
in Louisiana.
Because we thought you were just, because you normally you're in the duck blind, you're armed with your camera because you're working, right?
Yeah.
Taking pictures.
And I technically shoot more ducks than anybody.
So someone caught
with the camera.
Someone called you a conscientious objector. It really offended you,
right? Are you kidding me? I thought, now I'm going to go get in the deer stand.
I thought you were like the guy on the movie, the Hacksaw Ridge. That was your role. So you had some kind of religious reasons you couldn't carry a gun. But then he shot a deer.
Yeah.
You know, not quite where you should have.
That wasn't a gut shot. It came out the
yeah.
That's a gut shot. Yeah.
But you found it, and you cleaned it,
it
and you ate it. And
dark.
Yeah. And Phyllis, I understand you won't eat Tony's deer because you're not sure of his cleaning abilities or is his cooking ability. What is it?
He's doing a great job cooking. I mean, he's telling me, now I don't know because I've not tried it, but he's telling me that it's right up there with yours and with Stone's as far as the taste of it. He's been perfecting the craft of frying it in a Dutch oven. Iron skillet. So
did you cook for Noah and his and your wife is here?
Yeah, Chantel's with me.
Chantel's with you. Hello, Chantel. She just off. We also got another family here. Grady from Oklahoma is here, and Grady built this table. We have a new table.
Which will never leave.
It'll never leave because you can't move it. I mean, this thing is solid as a rock. Yeah. It looks really good, doesn't it? I mean, it's
maple,
really
maple, he said.
Beautiful. And what was it made from?
A semi floor trailer.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Where this came from, which is really
incredible.
Awesome. And thank you, Gray, for doing that. What a great blessing. So we're going to trade out. So he's going to be on an episode of In the Woods. If you want to see that, they talk about, you get to see him and meet him, and his family is here with him
as well. His cutting boards is where we've been cutting up all of our deer and our ducks.
Oh, is that where those came from?
Cutting
from
boards.
What's the name of your company?
Bud Rose Woodshop.
Budrow's Woodshop is in Oklahoma. Cool. And yeah, he doesn't. I didn't realize that's where the cutting boards. I've been using those myself, so I steal one every once in a while from mom's.
It's I've
a
skill set. I've been seeing them use it, so I need to get one.
Yeah, that's right. We'll talk to Grady.
Cutting boards, tables, you know. I mean, that's a good skill set.
So it's quite the congruence today of things that are happening, because we had Jason Missy here. We just anointed Mia and sent her on her way. She's having that surgery we talked about, so I'll let you guys know next week how that turned out. But so we praying about that for sure.
Give your listeners a taste of what James 5 says, Al.
Yeah, so that's a good thing to read.
Yeah. So we pray for me, and you say, so how did you go about doing that? So
we do this a lot at our church because we take this quite literally. Whenever James in James 5:15, it starts out in verse 13. It says, if any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And I've always thought, whether that was in the moment or later, you're going to be raised up. I mean, the beautiful thing is you win no matter what, which right. You prayed that over Mia, right? I mean, same thing.
It's like, that's correct.
No matter what happens, no matter what we look like in this life, the Lord is going to raise us
up. I reminded her that of what Peter and the Apostle Paul said, that our dwelling in this age, it's called a tent. We're living in a tent. These tents, as y'all have noticed, they wear out.
Yep,
and
they
there's
do.
Ailments, Mia.
Right.
There's problem with the tents because they weren't built to be eternal.
Right.
But there's an eternal house we'll live in, our glorified bodies, where never any sickness, always no malfunctions with the body. Just think about a world that you live in where there's never a malfunction with your body for eternity.
Yep.
That's, you say, is that one of the reasons you follow Jesus? Yeah. It is the reason. So these earthly tents, you know, we're given the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what's to come. So I just said, Lord, we have one here, one of our family members, the old cleft palate, the tent didn't quite line up.
Yep.
But we love her, and we pray that you'll be with her during this time. The final surgery, she's had how many surgeries, would you think?
I think Missy said 13. This is their 13th surgery.
13 surgeries.
And she's 17 years old.
Yep.
So just think about that.
Yeah. But she's been a good trooper. She's never been whining.
Oh, she's tough.
Yeah. And, you know, she's kind of got the blessing in this case. Sometimes it can be a curse for me and Dad of the high pain threshold. Like, she can be in a lot of pain. And just, and some people have a low threshold. We just happen to have a high one. Dad's got it. I have it. My grandpa had it. And I guess she's blessed to have that, too, because Missy said she didn't even hardly take pain meds from all that, you know, even when after these major surgeries, because they're going in breaking her jaw. And it's a gruesome situation, but, you know, and I think we talked about it's harder on girls too, but yeah, Mia's tough. She's one of the toughest girls I've ever met, you know, just to almost have a surgery per year on average for your life. And so the prayer is that this is the last one.
And for the ones, the naysayers who just laugh at it or scoff at it, when we pray to God that it'll help this girl, you know, We've seen so many things. Al, following Jesus, we say, go ahead and laugh. We're serious about it.
Oh, for sure.
Yep.
Well, in Isaiah, it says that when he was on the cross, he took our infirmities. He carried our diseases.
Yep.
Right. So that's what we pray.
Exactly right. So so today, as part of it, I want to just kind of update what you guys have been doing. Obviously, we've celebrated the year together. You guys have moved down in June?
August.
Yeah. And so now that's been several months of, and y'all are at our house at least once a week. We try to get together to eat mostly.
Yeah.
Cause Stone cooks for us. Right. And, but I wanted a little bit of update on your art stuff too, because we've added, you can see now on set, we have added the wood duck print. Tell us about this.
Yeah. Didn't that look good?
It looks great.
I mean, it's the wood duck print, the limited edition that we have.
And that a lot of you have purchased and which we appreciate.
Yeah. And, I call it the artist signature frame. It's in a neutral colored mat, neutral colored frame that's going to look great on any wall.
Right. So if you order one, now you can, the frame, you can get the whole
workup,
right?
Yeah. We've got a guy in West Monroe.
He's a local business owner, great guy. He has a framing and printing shop, and he built us this frame out of reclaimed barnwood. And he's got that available for other people. If they want to buy the wood duck print, he'll frame it for them and send that directly here from Louisiana.
So TonyThomasArt.com.
That's right. And if you put in the Phil discount code, it's 20% off.
They go there. You're saving money already. This is like we're reading an ad on the podcast. I love it. So the idea of Noah being here is, well, you guys tell. I mean, what was your connection? Noah's from California. So let me ask before you get to that. So I got to just ask. So people in the country, in 40, I don't know if it's 49 states, but certainly in the South.
Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah. So we look at California.
I'm learning this, by the way.
I told him when he first
walked, one of them.
He had his woman with him. And I'm looking at him. I said, where are y'all from? He said, California. I said, good night. I looked around. I said, they look normal.
they look perfectly normal. So that's what, I mean, it's really funny because California like intimidates the rest of us in one way or the other. Because everything, Dad used to say, everything good and bad comes out of California.
Okay.
Every wave, the good and the bad seem to come from there. But it's, what's it like to, you've been there your whole life?
Or? I have. Yeah. Born and raised in California, Southern California. Part of it, my parents split up at 9 years old. And we were in Southern California, right near Disneyland. Let's see, at nine, that's when I started hunting and fishing with my dad, duck hunting up in the Bay Area, Northern Bay Area, up near Sacramento in the Delta.
Yep.
So he was up there and mom was down south. And so grew up in Southern California, ended up going back down south when I was about 13, started my business on a bike at 16.
Wow.
And that's where it all started, right there.
So most people don't know this, but you just said it, and Dad and I know it because we've been up there and we've hunted, that California has wonderful duck hunting. I mean,
big time.
Great duck hunting.
Yeah.
I mean,
big time.
And a lot of ducks we don't get here.
Yeah. You know? I spoke at Modesto and going up the valley there, and those guys.
What's the name of that? Do you remember that sporting goods store where it was kind of our hub? Do you remember the name of it?
I can't remember.
I can't either.
Yeah, but we just went on where the ducks were. Up through California, but I was impressed.
Yeah. And probably in terms of duck call sales through the course of our company, I would say California's always ranked up in the top two or three states in terms of sales.
So you're an artist yourself.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I started on a bike at 16 going door to door. I had to hit survival mode pretty young. So I started the business in Southern California at 16. In my yearbook, it said Noah's Art, very original name. Started going door to door saying, hey, do you need a sign done? You know, we didn't have social media and tech back then.
Right.
We didn't have websites. So it was all relational. And my grandfathers, both who worked 36 years at each of their jobs, didn't miss a day of work. They taught me, if you want to get work done, always carry a pen and meet everybody face to face, meet your banker.
Yep.
And so my grandfathers were basically my mentors. My dad, unfortunately, he had an alcohol drug addict, and mom had her own challenges. So at that young age, it was like, man, we gotta take this art thing and make it work. Didn't have a choice.
Gotcha.
So back in when I was nine, though, and going through those hunting phases, it was a lot of fun. My dad later on moved up to Montana, fly fisherman, guided trips, hunted up there. So outdoors and doing life like that was a big part of my upbringing. But I was a city kid. You know, here I am in Newport Beach, California, hustling and growing the business. And as soon as I graduated high school, moved into a warehouse. I wouldn't call myself homeless, but knew that I couldn't afford a house. Got a warehouse just like this, put up a drop cloth for a tent, for a room, and said, hey, we're going to dump every bit of money that we got in here. Later on, what happened was I started just about 28. I got burned out. I was sitting up on the top of a cliff crying out to God saying, you give me this ability to paint anything, but what do you want to do? How can I glorify you with this? And I literally had a midlife crisis at 28, crying out to him. Wow.
By the way, guess how old I was when I had my crisis?
I don't even know.
How old? 28.
No way.
So look, since that time, I've looked back at the number of people who were 27, 28, 29, right along in that time, and the vast percentage of them that I've actually pointed to Jesus and they said, I'm ready to go. So the question would be why? What I think happens is by the time you get to be 28 and you're still like a dog chasing his tail, it's about along in there when you begin to wise up.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people who come to Jesus, I've just noticed they're in that little time frame, 27 to 31, right along in there.
Yeah.
You know, let's take a break. Noah, how old are you, Noah? Did I ask you that?
Hey, my 50th is this month.
Really?
Yes, sir. Right.
The big 5-0.
The big 5-0.
Happy birthday. That's right. Yeah. So you're Jace's age. You need to be sitting in this chair. That's perfect.
There we go.
So I don't know if you're there yet, because you look like you're pretty good shape. But Dad and I, being older than 50, we have a lot of aches and pains. Wouldn't you say? Is that fair to say that before we started taking Omega?
Do you grunt when you stand up?
Oh, and sit down.
At this current time, I have zero aches and pains.
And that is because you take what? OmegaXL.com. Yeah. So we've been
trying. Pristine waters of New Zealand.
it never gets old.
They grow them from mussels, and it's because it's all natural. Uh-huh. And basically, it takes down inflammation, which is the issue, of course, when you get these aches and pains. So it's been fantastic. Dad and I both love it. We're looking to do some more work for OmegaXL. We're big fans of it. I got Mom taking it now. Jace is taking it as well. So we'll hear more testimonials from them. So here's what you do when you want to try it. And it really works. You go to OmegaXL.com, OmegaXL.com/Phil, and you buy a bottle, they're going to give you the second bottle for free. Mm. So you get 2 months worth to get started. And that's about when it kicks in for me. It was 2 months. OmegaXL.com/Phil, or you can give them a call, 800-844-4888. That's 800-844-4888. And get rid of the inflammation. You know, it's interesting because you said it. It's that's the point in time in everybody's life at some point, younger or older, whatever, that you ask that question. Why?
You have a track record.
Why?
You have a track record.
Right.
And you're saying,
is this it?
And it ain't good.
Yeah. Or is this it? You know, is this all there is?
Right.
So, and I'm going to ask you something about you, because you mentioned about having that connection to the outdoors at a young age. Mm-hmm. Do you think that plays into, I mean, you guys are both artists. Mm-hmm. I mean, does God, the creator, and being able to look at that, being able to experience that, even being a city, do you think that shapes people that are artists?
Yeah,
I mean, it
does. And for me, the way I looked at it was this. At 28 years old, you're looking at a lot of life ahead of you. So you think, Lord willing, that you got a lot of time. But I looked at, you've been given the superhero power of creativity. And I also knew the gravity of the fact that if God is the ultimate creator and he's provided me this creativity and the ability to take something out of somebody's head and make it a reality, that's a powerful weapon. And that can either be used for good or used for bad.
And I'm wondering how salt water, if that in fact produced you, I want to know what department gave you the artistic skills you now have, man.
Well, that came directly from above, I can tell
salt
you that.
Salt water's a powerful thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So is coffee. But for me, it was at that age, at 28, realizing, okay, I want to do something significant. And this is what I now teach and help other believers do, is I want to help you become the most, not just successful, but significant creator. And I keep going back to this, you know, I was busy being successful, trying to climb the corporate ladder, meaning like just making money and becoming survival, because everybody says a starving artist.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, hold on a second. There is a way to crack this code, and it's an upside down economy, and it's God's economy. And so here's what it actually looks like. If we have been entrusted this gift of creativity, we all are creatives. We just don't admit it.
Right.
But we all are. I looked at the rest of my life and said, I can either spend the rest of this life, invest this rest of this life, or waste it. And most people spend their life spending it.
Yep.
And they spend their life just wasting it. And I said,
that is true.
If we look at the parable of the talents and what the Lord said, hey, you're going to look at this seed capital I've given you of time, talent, and treasure. How are you going to invest this to become significant in God's kingdom? So really what I'm trying to help people do is become rich eternally,
right,
by taking the time that they have down here with their creativity to have an influence on the world doing it. For Chantel and I, we just finally said, hey, we have to go from doing good things to doing God things, things that Jesus would write a check for, and turn our business from a company into a cause. And our hearts, because we have special needs in our family, we said we want to help rescue special needs AIDS orphans in South Africa. We have to partner with God in his business and say, what breaks his heart and puts a smile on his face?
Right.
And now let's teach everybody else how to do that.
Yep.
And I believe wholeheartedly that the Christian CEO businessman is the most underserved missionary on the planet.
Yep.
So how can we come alongside, put wind in their sail, get their business and their house in order, and turn it into a kingdom asset that furthers
the
kingdom?
You know what's interesting? You have artists who paint ducks.
Mm.
There's a wood duck. You have some guys who sound like birds.
Yeah.
I basically, my skill set was I knew what these birds sounded like. I knew what a teal sounded like.
Right.
I built a little caller that sounds like them.
Yes.
That wood duck, he makes a certain sound, meh, meh, kind of like it's a weird sound. I built a duck call that sounded just like one.
Yeah.
And then you had the mallard and the pintail and the gadwall. I just built these.
Yeah.
The only skill set I had, the creative part, God gave me the ability to know what birds sound like.
Totally.
I told someone, I said, it's like playing piano by ear. You know what they sound like, and you have wood and plastic and whatever, and you're trying to glue things together, and all of a sudden, you get one and you say, good night. That's it, because I've heard them so many.
Phil, you just might be an artist.
He is an artist.
Maybe it is in some way.
I'm telling you, you are.
I'm feeling better. We're on it,
y'all.
There
you go.
Listen, a call is your canvas.
I'm feeling better. Keep it up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, we do have a saying around here that weird is in. So, you know, that's your saying.
Well, yeah. To your point, we touched on this last time that God is the greatest artist of all time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I've learned and I'm still learning. I think I'll always keep learning this, that you know, his art, his creation has a purpose. Yeah. It draws us closer to him when we look at it. He says in Romans that man is, there's no excuse.
Just look at the colors of that wood duck.
Yeah.
The colors, you say.
Yeah, he just made that.
There had to have been someone that designed that. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's right.
Because look how beautiful that is. It's amazing how much you look at a wood duck and you're like, boy.
Yeah.
You just start there and just morph out and you say, boy, God, when he makes something, he makes it. It is earth shattering.
And anyone who takes time to go out in nature and look around, all the nature lovers, all the outdoors, women and people, you know, men, they see that.
The beauty of it all.
It is an awesome
experience. It's interesting since we know birds in the bird world, that the males are typically the ones with the most colors and they're trying to show out, I guess, to win. And the females are usually the darker, more drab colors. But the females do all the talking. I'm sure that's not like human beings, but they do all the quacking. And most of the, you know, you fly over, the females are going to let you know they're down there. The males are just a peep or a, you know, like you
just
said.
Just so we're clear, that is not the case in this marriage.
So when she starts running her mouth, you can always say, quack, 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 quack.
This one right here, he's the talker. He's the quacker. I'm the listener.
When she comes home, she's got 5 words to say, and I've got 50,000 words to say because, you know, during the day, you know, I'll tell you what my day looks like. If you would knock on the door and walk in, which happens in the South.
Yeah. You don't really wait for the call, right?
No. So,
you just come in.
I'm at my easel.
You get 2 seconds. So if you're not wearing pants, you're going to be embarrassed in the South.
That's for sure.
Always wear pants.
Yeah. Right. So I'm at the easel, you know, 6 or 8 hour or whatever, you know, painting days. And I have the blue healer, the part wild dingo dog sitting on her bed right next to me. And, I mean, that's what it looks like. She gets up, she's going to stretch. That means, well, like maybe I need to stretch and take a break. And, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, one of the funny things and interesting things, Noah, that we've been able to discover with Phyllis is that when you meet somebody for the first time, that's your blood, your kin, you know, and they're 44 years old when you meet them. And then you start, so you get to discover together how DNA works, you know, in terms of personality. I mean, and Phyllis is so Roberts. I mean, there's just so many traits. Which you said most of your life you couldn't figure out because you never really fit in your family that way.
It was so interesting. And that's why I looked around and thought, wow, why am I so different from everybody? There were similarities. Obviously, I'm still my mother's daughter. So that side of the family, I have their likenesses physically and otherwise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the other side just wasn't there. And it was so obvious to me. And I would compare myself physically. And being here, you asked how it's been this last, you know, few months physically being here. And then of course the last year when this is all going down, it's this nice warm blanket in a way to sit back and say, I fit in here. These are my people. This is why I act the way I act or look the way I look or do the things that I do. It makes sense in context now with the rest of my family being made whole. There's a wholeness there. You know, and that's really important, you know, for people to feel whole. We feel whole in Christ. We know who we are in Christ. We have an identity in Christ, and that's important. He's our Father, right?
Yeah.
But there's still something to be said about knowing your earthly father and being a part of your earthly family and being there being reconciliation.
Let's take another break. So Noah, what kind of sheets do people sleep on in California? Is it like
only 4,000 thread count?
Oh yeah, so it's got to be like really special, right?
Made from wool in Egypt.
See,
I don't know.
I'm just imagining California. They're on some kind of, you know, gold line something. You know, it's just
pretty much
super fancy.
Depending on what neighborhood.
We just float. We don't even sleep on sheets. We just float.
See, that's what I always thought about. Yeah. Well, we use Bowl and Branch sheets, which are super nice, by the way. I don't know what their thread count is, but it's super high. They make a fantastic sheet. And finally, Dad, I got some on your bed. So you've been sleeping on them. Have you noticed the difference?
I like them.
They're really good. So, and look, Bowl and Branch has been around for a pretty good while. But, I mean, I think they said three presidents sleep on Bowl and Branch sheets. So it's good enough for the presidents, good enough for us, right?
It's a good track record.
So you want to experience these sheets, the best thing you can do is go to bowlandbranch.com. That's B-O-L-L and branch. .com. You get 15% off your first set of sheets when you use the promo code Robertson when you check out. So that's bowlandbranch.com, promo code Robertson. You will love these sheets even in California.
Yeah.
Well, you're exactly right, Dad. I mean, a couple of things that I've marveled at was, one, as we've gotten to know, it's been a lot of time in conversation with Phyllis and Tony, is that, I mean, God had his favor. He had his hand on you, you know, your whole life, because situations could have been there that you could have been harmed. You could have been in some really tough situations, and just describing growing up. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, we grew up, I mean, Dad wasn't a Christian for my first 9 years, 10 years. But from that point forward, I mean, we had a safe environment. I mean, you know, but looking at that, I mean, God was looking out for you that whole time.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. You can't. Yeah. It couldn't be any other thing, because if it just would have been left up to chance, you would have wound up a meth head or something bad.
Definitely could.
And yet you were drawn to spiritual when nobody else, and we talked about that before. So I just think, I mean, now I know that God has set this up in his infinite wisdom to reveal what he needed to reveal. Second thing that I've marveled at is that, and you guys can probably relate to this as artists, you know, when I went to college, the only thing I know about art is I had to take art appreciation. You know, I was forced to. So then you're like, they're going to make you like this, that, and the other, which is why most people don't like it, because they want to be drawn to what they want to be drawn to. But as an artist, I don't know how you guys are, but I don't know that you appreciate what you can do the way we can appreciate it. Because when you have no artistic ability in terms of painting, or maybe it's anything that you appreciate in someone else. But I've appreciated about Phyllis is that, like, we grew up in this life, you know, so going to the land, to be honest, means nothing to me. I mean, like, it's just something I've done my whole life. You just go, we hunt over here, we hunt over there. Right. You lose a little bit of appreciation for what the blessing of this whole life that we've had. But when Phyllis comes in, she appreciates every little thing, every trip over there, every time you look around. And I just, since I grew up with it, I just don't have that sense of awe like I've seen you have.
Yeah.
It's like every day is Christmas for you.
It is. Every time I go out, it's fun. I'm like, oh, wow, look what we get to do. And every day looking, like we talked about before, looking at God's creation, looking at nature, it's faith building. And it's, in a way, it's kind of me planting my own little seeds here, you know, because I'm kind of a little sapling at this point, you know.
You're a little cypress knee at this point.
I am. But it is. It's powerful to me. I don't take it for granted. Every time we go out there, I think it's awesome. I think it's fun. I enjoy it. I get something out of it every single time.
Right. Awesome. And that's been fun for me to watch, you know, to be a part of it. And especially, it was funny for all of us at first, because Dad is man-centric, you know, and it's always been the hunting guys, and he had all boys, you know. And so Mom is really kind of the only woman that's ever been in Dad's life, you know. And so it's really interesting. We were all just kind of, you know, waiting to see what was going to happen when you put a woman in Dad's life. And so the first few months he kept calling you the little girl, because in his mind you were like a little girl. I was like, Dad, she's 44.
Yeah, it was different. I mean, try just carrying on conversation with your daughter, and you haven't seen her in 45 years.
I know.
Unbelievable.
But I have to say, and Dad, I give you credit. You have done great. You have far exceeded our expectations. I guess we had a low bar for you too, because I was like, how's Dad going
to
deal with this?
Yeah, a little of my softer side is beginning to emerge.
He's mellowing now. This is really something.
I can't imagine you any way different.
Hey,
that's all y'all know, right?
That's right.
So tell our audience a little bit about kind of what brought you to Louisiana, and kind of what's, because you explained it really well. And I was going to read a part of a Instagram post I saw you made, but you just said it beautifully.
What did I write? I can't remember.
Oh, it was really good. The one that highlighted to me was what you just said a minute ago. We wanted to use our home as a training ground to help leaders take their business from a company to a cause. Mm. I love that idea. And I love what you said in here.
Great idea.
About churches, because I spent my life, most of it as a pastor.
Yeah.
And the impact, you're right, is so limited. So most of my career as a pastor was spent in one church, our church.
Sure.
And we did a lot of things that impacted people. It was great. I wouldn't trade anything for it. But I've realized now that I've kind of been outside of that, doing this and doing the show and the other things, that the bigger the impact is where people are every day.
100%.
Not 2 hours on Sunday, you know. And we spend a lot of this podcast talking about how limited the church's influence is, and they've kind of made it that way. Maybe not on purpose, obviously. I mean, everybody wants to win people, but the day-to-day, the business, you said it. I mean, that's how you change culture. That's 100%. How you impact, right?
Yeah. So I flew down for Tony and Phyllis. We're doing a discovery day where I kind of look under the hood of life. We kind of take vital signs and assessment. Where are things at? You know, you guys just moved down here. Where's the company going to go? How would he make sure that this has eternal results and we're all high-fiving in heaven as a result of this? Reminding, hey, God's currency is souls. How do we take our creativity of our time and our talent and our treasure to use that and do business in that way? And essentially, you know, what was so beautiful, that part of the season of their life was as missionaries. There's no difference between what they were doing there and what they're doing here.
That's exactly right.
It's just a different canvas.
Yeah,
correct.
So when you look at this life assignment that they're on, my prayer and hope and privilege is to come alongside and say, hey, here's the ultimate goal. Here's how we measure success. It's not just in ROI here. It's kingdom ROI as well. And help make sure that they have what they need for this journey. And God's elevated me from going on a bike door to door to doing this as a part of my portfolio. And I couldn't think of any greater joy than seeing businesses become as fruitful as possible. And we get to do, but there's collaboration here too.
Al, it's like that book we come out with, that just came out a few months ago, you know, Jesus Politics.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What I was saying is what he is saying. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. Power in that.
Yeah. So when I look at, the influence that we all have, let's say we're not in the big C, or I should say the small C of a church locally in terms of being on staff. Let's just be that practical. Well, I would sit in the church pew and just go, I'm made for something more. I know it in my heart, in my gut. I want to I want to partner with God on a big level. And I know that there's so many of us even listening to this going, they've got that tug.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to give everybody permission listening to this. That's what the Lord ultimately wants, is you living in your lane. Well, there's a great saying that one of my mentors told me, and that is your kingdom calling is so unique to you that nobody before you or after you will ever live it. So you can't compare yourself to anybody
else.
That's right. It's really encouraging, because yesterday we spent the day together. And since we got back from Nicaragua in 2018, we've kind of been not floundering. We see that God had this coming and, you know, this big life change was happening. So we know that God had us in this transition. But I've been telling Al and Lisa, like, I want to be in ministry. This is what I want to do. This is what we've always wanted to do as a couple since our first date. We talked about full-time ministry.
Yeah.
And so being able to spend the day with Noah and his wife, I'm encouraged that I can see that can happen, that God is opening that up.
Right.
Yeah. Our view of worship, kingdom living, 7 days a week.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. 7 days a week.
Totally.
It's not like at the appointed time, you're like, not enough time.
Right.
This has to be lived out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And from another artist perspective, let me jump in here and say this, that, you know, you grow up and let's say you're a creative and maybe you take art in school, you take classes, you go to college and you learn how to master your skill, your discipline, oil painting or watercolor or welding, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you don't know how do you make an art business out of it?
Yeah. How do you take your craft and turn it into something much greater than that?
And then not only that, but how can you do a ministry
for sure
out of that? Well, and so I think there's a lot of creatives that are probably listening going, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Well,
let's take one more break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war. In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flare over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
So going back to Phil's point of worship, right? And then talking about Sunday to Sunday, how we're leveraging our business of our time, talent, and treasure to glorify God through our business and whatever we're doing. Well, Paul's verse in Romans 12, 1, this is what I think is really, really interesting. We'll come to faith, that's salvation. And people kind of look at almost like a remote control car and a remote control. And they're saying, Lord, you can have the car. You can have control of my car. And they don't think about the remote control itself. Man, I'm willing to sacrifice it all, right? Well, Paul says this. He goes, here's the message version, Romans 12, 1, probably one of my favorites for entrepreneurs, business, doing life as ministry. Here's what I want you to do. And I imagine Paul just kind of speaking in Phil's voice here. He goes, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Listen, I want you to take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around life, and I want you to place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. And listen, I don't want you to become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, this is what I want you to do. Fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out and readily, watch this, recognize what he wants from you and then quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture that's always around you, dragging it down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So what does that verse tell me?
That's awesome.
Want to know what the greatest act of worship is for me as a business owner? Not just to surrender my heart. Am I willing to have that Abraham Isaac moment where I'm willing to say, and I remember the day I did this just after 28, that crisis of faith. Holy smokes, he's real. Holy smokes. Am I willing to say goodbye to my creativity and lay it on the altar? Am I willing to take my wife? I was bawling my eyes out. If you need to take her, take her. Take my kids, take the town, take everybody I know in my phone and use it for your glory. And dude, I thought that was the end, but that was truly the beginning. Nice. And I think once he knows we know that and we're doing life and business in that way, everything we do is an act of worship at back. Like you standing at the easel, that's an act. You deal with your vendors, that's an act. Your employees, that's an act.
Living sacrifices.
That's it.
Which is your spiritual act of worship.
What version was that you were reading?
That's message version, Romans 12.
I love that. Yep. So that was Romans 12 from the message.
Yeah.
And you notice, I know something, Dad, the difference when you're from California, you have a Bible.
Going back to that.
A well-worn Bible with this highlight mark and a computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see how he does both?
The duck call there.
And a duck call. But I just noticed his setup here is a little different because you just have the worn Bible.
Yeah. Without that's analog. Yeah. Digital, right?
I'm computer illiterate.
Got you.
But now, when you want to look up a verse, I know where it is. That's exactly what you do.
But that's the fun part. Is
that's beautiful.
Is helping creatives leverage their influence. We all have influence.
Well put. Degree.
Well, and you're right. I'm so glad you spoke to our listeners because you know I sort a lot of emails and read a lot of what people ask. In fact, I was just on the phone with Aaron, who lives in Houston. This past week, connected with him a while back, and he just surrendered his life to Christ. But he's kind of in that same place. You know, he's kind of, you know, he's got a young family, and he's just, what do I, you know? So we've had this conversation about how do I surrender fully to where then God can fill what he needs to in me?
Yeah.
As opposed to going to someone, to the pastor or whatever, and say, what do I need to do? Give me a job to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that analogy about the car and the remote. That's awesome because
There's a reason, Al, that going to church is not in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not in there.
That's
you
right.
say, going to church. I need to go get back in church and I need to go to church. You're like, you are the church. You're a member of the church.
100%.
The kingdom.
That's right.
Practice your skill set. Mm-hmm. Get out there. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody has a skill set. Everybody, all the way down to the least among us, third grade education. Everyone is worth something.
I want. I have a stat to share that I think is pretty sobering. I usually, if I'm speaking somewhere, usually kind of start off with that. It's almost like the first hit in a football game. It sets the tone. But Barna has done such a phenomenal job of research, right?
That's good.
And basically, and I'll paraphrase this research, but it's for every 100 people that accept Christ, only 50% go to church.
Yeah.
And of the 50 that go to church, only 10% pursue holiness.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Then 1% actually make it to living a life of sacrifice, where he's no longer my savior. He's now my Lord. I'm not just looking to give some. And bonus, Lord.
Straight is the way.
Totally.
Narrow the gate.
Narrow. So what I call this now, I'm dealing right here with the 1%.
Yeah.
Yep.
Who are the 1% that are willing to go into a life of sacrifice, saying, I'm all chips in with time, talent, and treasure for your glory to increase that. Dude, you're in the Father's business.
Yeah.
And everybody that are listening, I just want to give you permission. Your mission field is, it doesn't mean you need permission from a four-walled church. The Lord's giving you permission in his word to say, you know, the world is your territory. There's no boundaries to that with your influence. And now here's what I believe. We're going to stand before a Heavenly Father. He's going to go, if you got more than 100 followers, you got a mega church in your phone. If you got a mega church in your phone, my question is this: you can sell a painting to Nicaragua in 5 seconds on social media. Here's my question. Can I go on your social media and know that you're a believer? And at the end of your life, he's going to look at you and go, what did you do with my son and what I put in front of you? You got technology in year 2021, back to our 2021 last night.
Yep.
Listen, we're going to be held accountable for the influence that we had and the potential that we possessed.
That's a great
and
word.
So that's a sobering reminder for me. I wake up to that just thinking, we got way too much at our fingertips, and it doesn't cost me anything to go on YouTube or Instagram or social. And if you can use a creative, clever way to get the gospel out to the world, that's really what our mandate is.
Yep. You know, let's take our last break. The conversation I was having with Aaron about the other day, one of the things he and I talked about, because he asked a question that we get asked a lot, and I'd love to get y'all's take on it. He said, you know, how do I study the Bible? How do I make the Bible meaningful? You know, because you just start reading, it's like, but I told him, I said, you have to view the Word of God. The only reason I study as much as I do is so I'm prepared to help other people understand what this book is about.
Yeah.
You're a producer, you know, is the way I put it for me. Mm-hmm. I'm producing benefit for people's lives. That's the reason I go into it. It's not that I'm doing it for myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a conduit, you know, of the word.
Totally.
You know, and so I was telling, and this young man that I'm talking to, he obviously has that producer. He wants to produce. I said, just start talking. Just start your own podcast. Start your whatever. Start producing, and you will dive deep into this, because you'll then be asking God to fill me so I can fill someone else. It's, you know, I feel like that's the way it has the interaction.
So I've got a couple of approaches to that of why would I do it. But yesterday, remember what we talked about, the number one asset? It's our story. The Lord dealt with story. That was he was the ultimate storyteller, and he met people with where they're at. If they were into agriculture, he's like, well, it's like a seed, you know, and he always met them where they were at.
That's right. That's right.
But in terms of your buddy, I'm looking at the fact that when we're an ambassador of Christ and we have an inheritance, and I think this beautiful story of what's happened in this family here with Phyllis and everything, when you come into the family of God, and you have an inheritance and you have a new identity and you have, it's almost like you're getting a uniform put on you. And if we had an ambassador from England come over here and show up and walked into a room, we'd be like, whoa, hey, like they're in a uniform. They walk, they talk, they stand in a confidence, not in a right in their own self-righteous cockiness, but they're confident in their identity and who they are. Well, as family members of the Lord, I just think as believers, we vastly underestimate who we represent.
Right, right.
If you really believe that you're an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, you'd walk into the room, you'd talk, you'd operate in a different mode and mentality. So why do I study this? Because I better be on point when I walk into a room and represent the Father's business.
Right.
And so I would just challenge him in a beautiful way of saying, dude, you're in the family business and your dad owns it. He's the CEO, but you get to be a manager of your lane.
Yeah.
So I want to be up to speed on, this is what I call the brand Bible.
Yep.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So if you look at it, like
California, not for brands.
But when I look at this, it doesn't mean I have to. It means I get to.
That's right.
So that fires me up. I want to be equipped and be ready to answer. Because here's what I believe, dude. That guy's on assignment.
Yeah.
And the next assignment of going to the next level, yep, is going to be contingent on how well he delivers on the little bits that the Lord entrusts to him.
Right. That's right. And yeah, you're right. I think so much of it is the lack of seeing big. And look, I admit, I was all the years I was in church work, I was focused on church work.
Yeah.
And that's why it was such a grind sometimes, you know, and that's why I was somebody that wasn't giving, but only wanted to take, and was just like, oh, this, I got to do with this person. This. Yes. And so, you know, now I've been preaching. I'm like, Dad, now I preach for free. And it's so great because, like, nobody's paying me. So mm-hmm. I feel so, yeah, you know, I don't worry about, I mean, now I just work for God, say what he wants me to say.
Yep.
And I'm not worried about having to deal with this faction, yes, this one, that one, whatever. Because I think that's what happened to pastors.
We figured just, out, you know, that, they can't fire you if they never hired you.
That's exactly right.
You'll leave when you want,
yeah,
to.
Yeah. And Paul did a good job of that. He's like, listen, you can't say anything on me. I didn't ask for any underwriting.
That's right.
That's it.
And I understand now why
that's
he said
the best,
it,
man.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, another thing I say is somebody, if somebody's, and I told them first Sunday,
we don't even pass a plate,
right,
or a bucket, mm-hmm, or whatever.
The first thing I said was, I said, if someone doesn't like my sermon, just remember, you get what you pay for.
Now, a lot of preachers listen to this, right, out across America. Yeah. Out, when they hear that we don't pass the plate, they're probably going to say, "Whoa, whoa,
now,
whoa!"
And I always have to caveat by
we've
saying,
got a box.
We're not bolted down on churches or contributions.
No. We got a bolted down box back in the back.
Yeah.
And we do remind them. We say, "Now, look, if you have to have lighting."
Yeah.
Or heat or cool.
Electricity, yeah.
Yeah,
electricity. Water.
I said, we pay the water
and
bill.
And I'm not down. Come
on, if you want to flood. I said, so there's a little bit of money that needs to be. I said, but I'll just tell you, I'll pay for that if I have to. I said, so you really don't have to pay anything. Mm. None. Yeah. Zero.
Yeah,
so I just tell them, and people like, they're not charging money. Now, this sends shivers down some preacher's back. What do you think?
Well, that's all you've ever known. And look, I'm not down on pastors.
A worker deserves his wages. Apostle Paul said,
right,
that, but I'm just saying.
But we do want to speak to a bigger plan. I mean, that's doing what it's doing. What we're talking about here, mm-hmm, is outside of that, because obviously the church has gotten left in the rearview mirror in the American culture.
Yes.
I mean, is that not fair to say?
It's fair to say.
Yeah, I would look at, we're looking at fishing. I mean, look at the environment we're in right now, this culture, fishing, hunting. You know, I told my story to Tony and Phyllis yesterday. Like, I literally thought I was going to start at an easel and die as an easel. Isn't it amazing how the Lord sees us and we see ourselves one way? The Lord walks up and he's like, oh no, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You know, Peter's like, dude, I can't leave this boat. My grandfather was a fisherman. My dad was a fisherman. His dad was a fisherman and so on in our family. And the Lord's like, dude, I need you to leave. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You think you're just, that's your assignment. I'm going to call you into bigger and greater things. Territory expands. Basically, I call that he's expanding your net.
Yep.
Here, you look back on seasons of life. My mentor did a good job of articulating that with a rocket ship. We look at this whole rocket ship. You're up in the front and we're going to our destination with our assignment with God. Yeah. But what we don't realize is that these stages are going to burn off. This was meant for this season of life. This was meant for this season of life. This was meant, but it all keeps you going and fuels you for it. So when we look at our territories and we look at what God's entrusted to us in these seasons of life, we see ourselves in one way, but the Lord's like, I'm going to expand your territory based on how faithful and trustworthy you are with the little bit I give you. Then how that responds, I'm going to expand your net even more and more of territory. But the thing is, are you either going to be waiting for me to part the water? Or are you going to be like Joshua, where if you step in the water, I'll part it? He can't steer a ship that's at bay. And so I look at it as like, we have to be trustworthy with a podcast, with social media, with a written word, with like pursuing our friends, pursuing relationships. Because at the end of the day, his currency is people. And if I'm not doing what I can to reach people, I'm not really in his business. And people say, well, I'm not a speaker. Hey, here's a sobering reminder. Evangelism is not optional.
That's right. That's right.
Evangelism is a command.
That's right.
So, guys, I'm just this piddly artist, but I got woken up to the reality that the gospel of the kingdom resides in me, and I have a responsibility with that, and want to remind other people that they got a responsibility with it, that we can use whatever our talent is, whatever our time is, and whatever our money is, that's going to convert to that.
That's right. And so I see you have a book here.
Yes.
31 Disciplines of Highly Successful Creatives. So audience, if you want to check that out, yeah. If you want to learn more. It's been so good to have you on the podcast. That was a fast time. We're almost out of time.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say that, you know, relationships are what then builds into opportunities.
100%.
So Seeley,
what
know,
a blessing.
Our old buddy, is the one that told us about you.
Yes.
And so, you know, he works with us on our books and all these different projects we do. And then, so these guys are like, you know, we want to start business to go. And then, you know,
I leaned into Seeley and I said, hey, you know anyone that can help out an artist?
Yeah.
Is that where it started?
Yeah, that's how it started.
Why he was eating the steak. Well,
exactly.
Yes.
But yeah, God is, Seeley's been he's an amazing man, a wonderful mentor. And he also represents one of my other mentors, Charles Swindoll.
Yep.
I've
read so many Swindoll.
Yeah, so I grew up in Swindoll's house as a child, two years old. Yeah, we lived in the same area, and so I grew up with his son.
He's from that area. I forgot about
so that Seeley tie there, and then all of that kingdom collaboration, what we're talking about, and then this beautiful opportunity that came up. I just, you know, and then I just say, if the Lord's doing something like this, something massive is going to happen with the influence of this couple.
Yep.
And the ripple effects of everything that they're going to do collectively as a team is going to have a ripple effect in eternity. That's going to be unbelievable. And that goes for each one of us. And hopefully the listeners will hear, like, God's got a plan, not just for your life, but the kingdom assignment on your life is going to be unbelievable. And the seed capital that you got with your time is the most precious asset that you can invest. So that's my prayer.
It's been awesome having you on, Noah. And we don't have a lot of people from California here. So we are just like so honored and thrilled that how normal you are and your wife and your family.
I feel like we're the deer and everybody's going, look, there's one.
Well, you are in Jace's seat, and I do like to throw him under the bus. So
I got the tire marks on my back right now.
It's just the natural thing. Yes. And Grady, thank you for the new table and your family. So glad you guys were able to share with us. We're about to go and eat some brisket. Did you cook for them?
I did. We made red beans and rice, cornbread.
Oh, so you got a little Louisiana.
It was delicious.
A little Louisiana stuff.
That's good. And I just want to say again, thank you to everyone that has supported us and has bought my art.
Yeah. Well, it's been awesome, of course, having you here. And again, a lot of people want to support us. And like Dad said, we don't ask for money. So it's like, well, hey, buy the wood duck print, you know?
Mm. Well, I can tell you the direction that we're going. It's very encouraging to see that God's hand is in all of this. Mm. And we have a path being laid out before us that we can be in ministry. We can minister to people, build the kingdom, fund it through art. Mm. That's the plan.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, I felt real weird running with artist at first, but I'm over now.
Okay.
We've determined that you are also
mission
an
accomplished.
Artist.
Yes, you're an artist.
You're an artist.
You're one of us.
You're in the club.
Yeah.
So I have a special gift for anybody that's listening that kind of is a way to step on the scale, just spiritually in the morning, a little devotional, just a questionnaire to kind of say, hey, how am I doing in these areas with the stewardship of my time, talent, and treasure? And is today going to be a waste or am I going to invest it? So I created, if you go to noahelias.net /duck, noahelias.net/duck, you'll get this free download and you'll be able to read this, and it's going to give you some promptings and questions to start your day to just look at, you know, am I running with those that have a kingdom mindset? Is my priorities when I wake up about kingdom priorities or just about getting myself more comfortable? These are just wonderful ways to step on the scale and say, hey, how can I be a kingdom entrepreneur that's going to have 100x results? Because he invites us, some 30, some 60, but I want to live a life of 100x. If that's something that your listeners would like, this is a great little questionnaire that's going to help
you.
Hey,
we love free gifts. And I'm going to check it out, because when I step on the scale in the morning, it's such a depressing situation.
This will encourage you.
That I need something like this to make me feel better about
myself.
There you
go. So.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.